any further ado, we're going to bring Jim Tucker. When I first read about Jim and heard about him, it was hard for me to believe and comprehend the life that Jim had come from. And then when I heard Jim share this in his own words, it is a story that every human being can partially relate to, and the rest of us can be shocked by. But how many of you are glad that Jesus saves from the uttermost to the uttermost? He really does. And Jim Tucker, who is now working with Full Gospel Businessmen all over this nation and all over around our world in helping men find Christ that are in the depths of Satan's grasp. And let's give Jim Tucker a real good welcome as he comes to share Jesus with us today.
It's good to be here this morning. It's good to be free to be here. How many of you are free? Don't look like you're too sure of it. You know, the largest groups I ever spoke to, and so I get kind of nervous up here, is usually the jury and the parole board. Looking at a lot of you, you remind me of them. They sit there, they frown, they crack, and they got all these lines on their face, shaking their head, nodding. They don't know what's going on. All they can do is say denied or rejected or one or the other. I'd like to ask, without looking at your husband and wife, to find out how many of you are free today. That's better. You look like you might think you really are. You know, one of the things is that a lot of people are locked up around the world. They're locked up behind prison walls. As my brother in Germany was talking, I thought maybe they did do me a favor keeping me locked up 27 years. But I don't know who they is protecting, the outside or the inside. I don't know whether they is protecting me or protecting you. But the thing is that being around and all of this, I was into crime, into a lot of things. What I want to do this morning is kind of share with you a little different, see? Because a lot of people today are going around the country and you're out here and you want to minister to the people out on the streets, but a lot of people don't know how. I go places where you can't just come in and you can't just talk about Jesus. I go to places like the Rotary, to the Lions Club, to the different clubs that they talk about child abuse, they talk about crime, they want a solution. I go to schools where you're not allowed to talk about Jesus. I go to prisons where if you come in and you beat them in the head with the Bible, you lose them right away. So in ministering around the country, I've kind of found out a way of ministering to people and getting their interest. No matter what you are, no matter if you're the strongest man in the world, no matter if you're a top boxer, no matter if you're a top safe cracker or thief, you can mention Jesus and get people to ask questions because you know somebody that is better at all of it than they are. Now you say, how would Jesus open a safe? Well, he'd just lay hands on it and say, open safe, and it would open. I know when I was praying for people, if I would have had the kind of power I got today when I was a thief, I wouldn't have had half the work because I was at Harrisburg not long ago and I laid hands on these people and they started going down in rows. And as they went down, the wallet squirted out of this guy's pocket, and I couldn't help but laugh. I said, boy, if I would have had this power, Lord, I wouldn't have needed all the other powers. I could have really took up a collection. The thing is that in sharing in these places, you have to tell people what they don't know. You have to give them something that's stronger than what they got. And today I'm going to just run through a little part of it, because one of the things that we don't really appreciate what we got. We don't really appreciate the opportunity to serve Jesus. We don't really appreciate the love that you have until you lose it. And a lot of people say, well, on conditions. All of my life, for 35 years, I never seen nothing in nobody's life that I ever wanted. Isn't that kind of heavy indictment? Think about it. And I couldn't read a Bible because I didn't know how to read for 35 years. So how are you going to witness to a guy like that? First of all, you get down and you start talking on something that interests them. And first of all, when I go into these places, I tell them, hey, young people, you really don't appreciate the home you got. You don't really appreciate the opportunity to get education. Now, if I was in a school, I couldn't mention Jesus, so I'm going to leave it up to you to ask the questions at the end of this. I'm going to do it. And when I go in a school or a Lions Club, I always have a question-answer session at the end. So if you want to ask questions, you can ask them after I get through here. But when I go in, this is the way I get them to ask the questions that I want them to ask. First of all, I tell them, you don't appreciate what you got. Second of all, I tell them I lost it before I got a chance to appreciate it. Because when I was 7 years old, all of a sudden I woke up and there's a big man standing there, a beautiful lady standing there, my father and mother. The next thing I realized is my father come in drunk. He slapped my mother around, he packed his suitcases and he left. My mother had two small boys to take care of. As my mother had these two small boys to raise, she come in and she did everything. She walked with us and she looked at us and she talked to us. And as we looked at my mother, we said, Mama, you sure are pretty. Mama, you're never going to leave us, are you? She said, no, honey, I'll always be here. And then all of a sudden, my mother come home after work. She was tired. She had been to the doctor. He give her pills to wake up and pills to go to sleep. My mother come in and took some of those pills and locked the door. All of a sudden, as she went to bed after taking her pills, she was sound asleep. The house was quiet, and then all of a sudden, the front door was broke in. We lived in a one-room apartment. This man came in the room. He picked up iron that you iron clothes with off of the stove. He picked up a butcher knife. He walked across the room. All the screaming and yelling wouldn't wake my mother because she was out on sleeping pills. He beat her in the head with the iron and carved her face up with the knife and walked out and left her for dead. All of a sudden, my beautiful mother was being wheeled out the door on a white cart. And as she was wheeled out the door, everything we knew about love and life was gone with her. Then me and my brother at 7 years old and 6 years old, because my mother had run away and married against the family's wishes, they had put me and my brother in the juvenile hall because relatives didn't want us because she was an outcast. And then all of a sudden, as this happened and everything was going, the lady came along and they adopted us out to a fortune teller. At 9 years old, I got in a mess and got accused of something I didn't do. At that age, I was accused of shooting the teacher with a paper wad and stuff full of stray pins. She grabbed me by the hair of the head and took me out of the room, and I told her I'd kill her. At 9 years old, I'd stole the .38 automatic and took it to school and tried to blow her away. I was locked up in maximum security. At 12 years old, I was put in another foster home, and I started shooting drugs because somebody dared me to and offered them to me. I shot them up and down my arms, up and down my legs, between my toes, under my tongue, and all of that. And then after a while, I went on from that. I got locked up again, and I got out again. I've become a motorcycle gangster. I rode with motorcycle gangs 4,000 strong. And then we were riding our motorcycles through people's businesses and houses, and all of a sudden I got busted. I got put back in there. I've become a boxer. I was a good professional boxer, but no discipline in my life, no nothing in my life. I wanted to drink and take pills, and if you put garbage in, you get garbage out. So the thing is that I all of a sudden got in a fight in a bar, and I wound up going back to prison again. I got out again. I become a weightlifter. I press 470 pounds of iron, squat 625, and deadlift 840. I could do anything I wanted to do. I had 19.5-inch arms, 52-inch chest, 32-inch waistline. That was before it fell down here. And I had it all together. I got out and I thought those big arms would get me anything, but the dude that I couldn't read and couldn't write, it wouldn't get me nothing. It didn't get me a job. So I started carrying people's safes out, and I started doing different things like that. And all of a sudden, after a while, I joined the Nazi party, and then I joined the Satan worshipers. We burnt crosses, we chanted to Satan, we burnt these crosses and drank blood and eat raw meat and done all of our chants and everything, and they told me I belonged. We went across the country, we robbed and we stole. All of a sudden, they sentenced me to 90 years in prison. I went to prison 90 years. I went to places like San Quentin, Folsom, Soledad, Vacaville, and San Luis Obispo. After doing 17 years through the prisons, they put me 3 years in a 5x6 room to change my attitude. They had a solid steel sheet over the door and over the window. And as they did this, they left me in there for 3 years. I went in there and eaten a piece of meatloaf between two slices of bread. Went from 230 pounds down to 176. They brought me out of the room. They strapped me down on a cot, and they put pins and needles in my head to change the way I think. And after they did that, well, they turned on the electricity, and it knocked me out. They put me back in the room. 3 times I couldn't talk. All of a sudden, they put me in another prison. In this prison, all of a sudden, I'm there, and all of a sudden, they tell me I can get out. Well, I'm no longer a threat. I couldn't talk. I couldn't live. I was 176 pounds, and all of a sudden, I was there building myself up, going, get revenge. I hated. I was bitter. I didn't like nobody, including myself. And all of a sudden, as I was there, I wanted out. But nobody wanted me. I've been locked up 27 out of 35 years, never had a Christmas, never had a birthday, never had a visit, never got a letter. Who would want me? And all of a sudden, as I was there and everything, a preacher came along. He said, I'll take him. He took me out. And as this preacher took me out, I looked at his life. A good preacher by the name of Phil Thatcher. He had a power that I never seen before. And I wanted that power. And all of a sudden, I asked him where he got it. He said, I get it out of this book. I said, how do I get it? He said, learn to read. And after a while, I accepted and I went around. I found a master key. And when I found that master key turned on in my life. And when that master key turned on in my life, I found something to get me higher than opium or cocaine. Our 98 proof, and it was free. I found something that was more exciting than riding with all of those bank gangs and more exciting than robbing banks. I found something more powerful than all of the gangs put together. And when I found this, I found a prosperous life, a happy life, and a successful life. Now, I'd like to ask you, do you have any questions you want to ask? See, people, Jesus don't care where you come from. Amen. Jesus only cares about where you're going. See, when the love of that one man come in to my life, I looked at him 2 months and 2 days after I was out looking at him, I received the Lord. I went to 24 churches in a 7-mile area trying to go to church. I didn't dress like this. And when I went to these churches, all they ever told me is how I was going to hell. They told me to get a haircut. They told me to get a shave. They told me to put clean clothes on, put socks on. In all of these churches, I thought I could belong. Finally, they told me about one church I could belong to. And I walked into that church. I had even shaved. I put on a clean shirt. I had on clean clothes. I forgot one thing, though. I had a pack of cigarettes. And I walked into that church, and all of a sudden, as I got up the steps and I started in, two guys reached out from each side the door. They said, "We rebuke the demon of tobacco." I went looking for him. See, sometimes we're so worried about the pettiness. We're so hung up on the little things that we can't live. The Lord can save souls. He can heal minds. But he can't take care of those little petty things. And the thing is that people get hung up on these little things. We need a balanced diet, people. We need a balanced diet, just like eating. A lot of you eat, you eat, you eat, you eat. You take in, you take in. When you're going to give it back? When you're going to pass some out so you can get some more? You can't get blessed without putting some of it out. You know, I stood up here and talked last year at the World Convention. I walked off of the platform. And as I walked off of the platform, I was on a high. I was really uptight. And all of a sudden, a lady standing there, she was a gospel singer. And she said, "Convicts." I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "You know what they can do with convicts?" I said, "I guess you're going to tell me." She said, "Put them all in a pit and blow them to hell." I said, "Thank you, ma'am." And I walked away. It wasn't 30 minutes later, over on the other side of the platform, she was talking to somebody. She said, "I don't understand. Ever since I cut this album, I don't understand why God hasn't blessed it." Huh? You know why God hasn't blessed it? How can he bless with all of that infection inside? Huh? It's time for me to shut up, but I'd like to leave you with this. See, I learned to read after I quit going to church. I walked into a restaurant and there was some men sitting there, and I was going to leave, but they called me to their table. They set me down. They bought me a meal. If there's anything I like to do, I weigh 275 pounds. I'm 6'3". And I love to eat. Only thing I love better is when it's free. And when these people called me over to the table, they handed me a menu. And they started introducing themselves. Enoch Christopherson, Pete Conchalier, Dima Shakarian. And all of a sudden they shook my hand. And then they told me, Demas told me, he said, "The price for your success is paid for." He said, "Jesus paid it all. If you want it, you can be just like all the rest of these people." You know, with that, I went back and I took a set of records that Phil Thatcher gave me, and I sat down and I followed them through 8 times learning to read the Bible. After learning to read the Bible, I wrote the book on my life story, Three Gates to Hell, with the fellowship's help. And it's out there, and if you want to buy it, the book's only $5. The autograph is $20. And I'll donate the book. But anyway, out there, I will autograph it for you. I'll be in the ministry booth. But I want to tell you some of the things through this, through one man, and through my learning to read. I quit as a cook, and I went into the ministry about 6 years ago. But he took a power, not only did God give me, but he gave me some other special help. And I want to introduce them because I couldn't make it without them. And today, my beautiful red-headed wife, Virginia, and my son. Stay. Come here, Kyle. See, this is what it's all about. He'll never know the life I knew. He was raised by the fellowship. He's been adopted by the fellowship. And now we're in the prison ministry. We head up the prison ministry for the fellowship. I want you to know we got men going in almost every prison throughout the United States. I was over in New Zealand recently. We seen a guy, the Mongrels, like the Hell's Angels. He come up as we're sharing. He said, Jim, he said, can I have what you got? He said, you think God will accept me in my motorcycle? I said, the motorcycle hasn't done nothing wrong, guy. I said, it's the guy on the motorcycle. He says, I can't read either. He said, you think I can learn? I said, just like I did, Jesus will help you. Not only that, the state officials look at us and they say, if God can change you, he can change anybody. And just recently at the New York Advance, where Fred Lawrence was, we went there. The second in command of the Department of Corrections came up to that advance and set in a workshop. And at that workshop, at the end of the meeting the first night where we shared testimony, he said, Jim, and he said, Fred, he said, you think I can have that personal relationship that you people have with Jesus? The second man in command in line of the head of the Department of Corrections received Jesus, was baptized in the Holy Spirit, went back, and within a week I was back there in his state. And in his state, he had dessert meetings in the prisons. And today, my people, I'd like to tell you, in the state of Vermont, over 25% of all of the convicts locked up in those prisons know Jesus Christ. If you're interested in more, I'd like to invite you to a workshop at 1 o'clock. They didn't announce it, but it'll be at 1 o'clock over across the street at the hotel. Look at your schedule. It'll be a workshop. Usually, if you come to this workshop, you'll get a $25 course that will be just given to you there. And we'll give you the answers and share with you. There'll be a lot more. I want to thank you because one of the highest privileges I have is serving the Lord. The second highest privilege is having a family like you and having your love to make it go around. I want to tell you that it's really extreme honor and privilege for me to be allowed to talk to you. God bless you.